Hallelujah, my first time in Lambride. Praise the Lord. I'm going to continue talking about what Vic's been sharing the last couple of weeks. He started his new teaching series called Who is Jesus? Vic has been giving us lots of information, lots of views and opinions about who Jesus is, and he's been using reference from people in the world and reference from the Word. And he's been sharing how over the millennia, people have had different opinions of who Jesus is, from a goody-goody, a troublemaker, a scoundrel, whose followers are people who are, and I quote, pig-headed and obstinate, unquote. Anybody a follower of Jesus in here? Yeah. And of course, the Word is our favorite, and as far as we're concerned, most reliable source about who Jesus is. Jesus said explicitly and in picture that he is God. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And as Vic explained, that was really identifying himself with God the Father. When God appeared to Moses, and Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And God said, tell them, I am, sent you. And that was God the Father speaking. And then Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Not before Abraham was, I was. Before Abraham was, I am. He knew exactly what he was saying, and he knew exactly how it would be taken. And it was. They took up stones to stone him. But then they didn't. And Vic has spoken in detail about how if we want to see who God is, we look at Jesus to see God. Because Jesus is the perfect representation of God in character and desire and will and practice. If we want to see who God is, we look at Jesus. Vic spoke in detail about the true nature of God. Actually, I don't know if you did talk about the true nature of God, but I've written the true nature of God, and I thought I'd just explain that very slightly, because it's not that there's a true and a false nature of God in the Word, but there is a true and an incomplete picture of the nature of God in the Word. Because in the Old Testament, there was an expression of God's wrath, which was poured out because of sin. And we saw a lot of wrath and judgment and punishment from God in the Old Testament. But that was all to do with sin. And when Jesus came, he absolutely dealt with sin. So now there is not now that judgment and wrath coming from heaven towards mankind. So Jesus is expressing the true, the complete, the full nature of God in his love and mercy and grace that he has expressed towards mankind. Colossians 2:9 says that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So the Godhead is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Word says that in Jesus, in this man Jesus, the fullness of that Godhead was in one body. The true nature, the fullness of God in that body. Vic spoke a lot from Hebrews 1:1-3, which says that in the old times, God spoke through prophets and angels, but now he's speaking through his Son, who is the express image of the Father, the brightness of his glory, it says. So now, where before the true nature, the true image of God wasn't fully represented, now in Jesus, it really is. We're seeing the fullness of the wonderful nature and loving kindness from God expressed towards us. So Vic has said a lot about what had been written about Jesus from various quarters. Many opinions are expressed. And really, in this world, every single person has come to an opinion of who Jesus is, one way or another, based on what they've seen, heard, experienced. Every one of us has an opinion. The question we need to ask ourselves is, what has been our source? Has it been a source that is conscious of the truth of who God is and who Jesus is? Or is it just somebody's opinion based on what they've read and heard? Is it the truth? Jesus asked a very important question of his own disciples in Matthew 16, if you'd like to go there first. Matthew 16, I'm going to read from verse 13. When Jesus came unto the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom do you say I am?" That's what other people say. Other people say, "Oh, he's this, he's that, he's the next thing, he's whatever." Who do you say I am? "Whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Whom do men say that the Son of Man is? Vic has given us a lot of opinions about who men say Jesus is and was. A goody-goody, a troublemaker, whatever. Whom do you say I am? This is a question that every single person who comes into this world is going to be asked one day. It might not be in this life that you get to be asked that question, but it's a good idea to know the answer to that in this life. Whom do you say that I am? When Jesus was on the earth, he made claims and he said things that were very strong and bold. And if he is who he claimed to be, then every single person who comes into this world ought to at least give heed to those claims and pay attention to what he says was the reasons why he came. And is there a response for us to make? Or did he just come and it doesn't really matter what we think about that? I want to look today at some of the things that Jesus said he came to do and help us to just get an idea of what was on his heart when he came. And Vic has already looked at some scriptures, so I'm just expanding a bit more on what he's already laid the foundation for, just to give us some more information on who he is. So go to Matthew 5:17. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So from that we can read that he is saying he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And you might be asking, what on earth does that mean? Why did he bother saying that? He said that because a lot had been written about him in the law and by the prophets about him coming. There are literally hundreds of scriptures that are prophesying that Jesus was going to come. So what he's saying is, now I'm here. And I've come to fulfill everything that was spoken about me. Just as an example, think of Isaiah. It's coming up to Christmas time. And think of Isaiah, who said, "Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son." Behold, a virgin will conceive. And we see that that happened. That's what happened with Mary. And then it goes on to say that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus came to be the fulfillment of that 4,000 years that was being spoken and written down about him. He came to fulfill that. That's what he says there. It wasn't just a one-off thing. He didn't just appear out of nowhere, out of the blue. He had been spoken about for centuries, and now he's come to fulfill that. Matthew 9:13. In the last part of this scripture, it says, "I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus has come to call us. We are all sinners. We were all born sinners, shall I say. We're not all sinners anymore, but we were all born sinners. Every single person who comes into this world is born a sinner. And if you were born a sinner, which you were, you might disagree with me, but I'm sorry, you were. If you were born a sinner, Jesus came to call you to repent, to turn away from that sin towards him. He came to call every person to himself. Matthew 20, verse 28. He says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. The Son of Man came, that's talking about Jesus, he came not to be ministered to. He didn't come for his benefit for us to minister to him. He came for our benefit, to minister to us. That word minister means to be an attendant, a host, a friend. Jesus came to call us to himself and to minister to us, to love on us. That was why he came. He came to be fulfillment. He came to call people to himself, and he came to minister to us. John 5:43 says he came in his Father's name. And John 7:27 says that he came in the power and authority of his Father. Vic spoke about a lot about that. Jesus said, I don't do anything of myself but what the Father gives me and tells me to do. He came with his Father's agenda, in his Father's power and authority, to point men to God and to be the way to God. And he humbled himself and became a servant, that minister, to serve, to be our friend, to call us to himself. John 9:39. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. I'm not going to go into the fullness of that scripture, but I want to say this, that Jesus came to give sight to the blind. Not just physical sight, although it certainly does include that. He opened many people's eyes. He's given us the power to open people's eyes. We've seen blind eyes open. Jesus wants to make the blind see. And he wants to give us spiritual sight so that we can see what the word is saying about him. I'm giving you some scriptures here. But he wants to open your eyes so that you can see for yourself, so that you can say, I know who he is. John 10:10, one of our favorite scriptures. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have
life,
and that they might have it
more abundantly.
Absolutely. He wants us to have an abundant life. I think that word abundant, I might be wrong, but I think in the Greek it means a superabundance. A superabundance. Above measure. Above measure. Whatever is a good life to you, Jesus wants to multiply that and make it more and more and more abundant. To really bless us. He wants to minister our socks off with an abundant life of health and wholeness and prosperity so that we can be a blessing to other people. Above measure, that is amazing. I think they can even measure the universe these days, allegedly, with how big it is. And Jesus wants to give us an abundance beyond measure. Ooh, that's amazing. Thank you, Lord. John 12:46. He says, I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus wants to be the light in our life. How many of us have known darkness outside of Jesus? How many of us know people whose lives are just filled with darkness? And then Jesus wants to come and just shed light into our lives to be the blessing. John 1 says a similar thing. Just head back to John 1. Reading from verse 9. John has just written about John the Baptist coming, preparing the way for Jesus, that John was going to speak about this light coming into the world, which he did. But then it says that John was not that light, but he bore witness of the one who was going to be the light. And then verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's an important verse. Jesus lights every man that comes into the world. Not every man will accept him, but Jesus is reaching out to every single person on this planet. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Every man will have to answer that question, whom do you say I am? That's what verse 9 is saying, that every single person is going to be approached by Jesus. Who do you say I am? Maybe not literally, but in our hearts, in our understanding. It says in verse 10 and 11 that he came into the world. He came to his own, speaking about the Jewish people, but they received him not. He was rejected by the world that he created. Vic spoke a lot about Jesus being the creative force of nature. Jesus was there at the beginning. In the beginning, gods created the heaven and the earth. One God, but plural. So he was the creator, but those that he came to didn't receive him. Verse 12 says, but there are some that receive him, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The ones that believe and receive him, they become sons of God. But people reject Jesus because they love darkness rather than light. Jesus said that in chapter 3 of John. In verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And we've all been there. We've all been in the darkness. We were all born as sinners. We've all come into this world in darkness. And something revealed the light to us. And we have all in here, I believe, accepted that that light is Jesus. It was attractive to us. And we responded to his call in our lives. And now we love the light. We love being in Jesus. We love everything that Jesus is. Everything he has for us, we're desiring it. We are turning away from the darkness as much as we are able. So Jesus has said a lot of things. That's just a few, a handful of scriptures about why he came. Jesus said many things about who he is. And he asks the question, who do you say he is? Who do you say I am? And there are many voices in the world, many opinions about who Jesus is. Whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you believing? Whose voice is persuading you about who Jesus is? Are you listening to people Vic spoke about? Vic spoke about Josephus, Calchas, Tacitus, Plinius. These are all old school people who wrote about Jesus. Or perhaps you're listening to the likes of Dawkins or Attenborough. Perhaps they're the ones who are influencing you in who Jesus is, in that he's irrelevant. That was a huge mistake. Leave him out of it. This is how it all is. You're listening to that voice. Are you listening to Womack? Are you listening to Cameron? Or are you listening to Jesus? Are you listening to Womack or Prince? Whoever, you have to make up your own mind. You have to make up your own mind. Yes. We teach because we have put faith in this and we are passionate about this and we want to try and share this with whoever will listen. But you still have to make up your mind. We can stand here and preach our little hearts out, and every one of you will receive it differently. Every one of you will have a different reaction to what is said. And that's your responsibility, not mine. You have to decide, who do you say he is? Who do you say he is? All of us have a decision to make about who he is. These matters are too important to let somebody else decide for you. It might be convenient when somebody tells you there is no God, it's okay, there's no God. You can live and behave like an animal, it's fine. There's no God, there's no accountability, there's no responsibility on you to think about an afterlife or a God of any kind. It's all irrelevant. You're going to believe that? Or you're going to listen to people who say, actually, my experience is that this word is real. My experience is that I have experienced God. He is real. His word says he's real. There you go. There's two options for you. You get to choose. Every one of us in here who has chosen Jesus has had that choice. You're going to choose Jesus, or are you not going to choose Jesus? That's absolutely our choice. We all have that choice to make. And okay, you might say, well, okay, I believe that there was a person called Jesus, and if he did come and do everything that he said he was going to do, that's really great. So now what? Well, there is a decision to be made about Jesus. I think it's James says, you believe in God? The devils believe and tremble. Believing that there is a God, believing in Jesus, is not enough. There's a decision to be made about Jesus. And Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, gives us an idea of the response that we can make. This is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's not enough just to say, well, okay, I believe there was this guy called Jesus. Jesus says, if you believe on me, let's make it personal. Believe in your heart and speak out of your mouth. And if you do that, he says, you get to be a son of God. We read that earlier. To those who believed on him, he gave them the power to be the sons of God. So you can say a prayer, you can speak to Jesus, and receive him. And I've got an example of a little prayer here that you can say, and it's very simple. So listen to this. And if you're considering responding to the fact that Jesus is who he says he is, then you can say this prayer, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me and dying for me on the cross. Your precious blood washes me clean of every sin. You are my Lord and Savior now and forever. I believe that you rose from the dead and that you are alive today. Because of your finished work, I am now a beloved child of God, and heaven is my home. Thank you for giving me eternal life and filling my heart with your peace and joy. Amen. If a person says a prayer like that from their heart, something amazing happens, which I haven't got time to go into, but you get to be a son of God, even as women. To be in Christ is very gender neutral. There is no male or female in Christ. God talks about sons of God because the picture of the Old Testament was that the sons were important. The sons got the inheritance. In Christ, we are all sons. We all get the inheritance. So we get to be sons of God. I just want to go through that prayer with you and give you a couple of scriptures to look at for each of those things that I said. So I started off by saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me and dying for me on the cross. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And if you go back from that, let's just have a look at that. Look at John 3. So I just read verse 16. Verse 15 says the same thing, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then verse 14 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now that thing about Moses and the serpent might not mean much to you. Don't really have time to go into it, except that there was snake bites coming on the people of Israel. So God told Moses, get Aaron to put a bronze serpent on a stick, hold it up, go into the midst of the people, and whoever looks at that serpent on the stick is going to be healed. And what Jesus was saying is in the same way as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so I must be lifted up, speaking of himself being lifted up on the cross, and whoever looks at Jesus on the cross and believes on him is saved. Amen. So that's why he said that. Your precious blood washes me clean of every sin. Matthew 26:28 was when Jesus was breaking bread and drinking wine with the disciples, and he said, this is my blood, which is poured out for you. Jesus' blood was poured out to cleanse us from every sin. You are my Lord and Savior, now and forever. We said that in Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Jesus is your Savior. I believe that you rose from the dead and that you are alive today. Luke 24. Let's have a look at this scripture. Luke 24. We'll read from verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ, or thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So that's talking about Jesus being alive today. Because of your finished work, I am now a beloved child of God, and heaven is my home. We've already read in John 1:12 that as many who believed on him, he gave them power to be the sons of God. And John 14:2, Jesus has said to his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, talking about heaven, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. We have a home in heaven waiting for us. Jesus has prepared a place for us to go and live with him. Thank you for giving me eternal life. We read that in John 3:15. Anyone who believes on Jesus has everlasting life. And filling my heart with your peace and joy. Romans 15, verse 13. Verse 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So if we pray this prayer, we get to be saved. We get to be an inheritor of everything that Jesus has given us. And I've just used a few scriptures here, but the word is full, full of scriptures showing us what we now have once we have believed on Jesus. We could look at Ephesians 1. that talks about some of the things that we have in Jesus. For example, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been adopted as sons. We have been accepted in the Beloved. We have been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We could look at Colossians chapter 1, which talks about how we are complete in Him. That word complete is one of my favorite Greek words. It's pleroo, and it means to be crammed full like fish in a net. You ever seen a fisherman's net full of fish? We are that full in Him. We are full, complete in Him. That's Colossians 2, verse 10. We could look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, that talks about how we become a new creation. A new creation, it says. We get made brand new. The Greek in that means a brand new creature, something that never existed before. Each of us is absolutely unique on the earth. We have been made new, created new in Him. We could go on and on, and probably will go on, and have gone on, about all that we have when we believe on Jesus, when we say that prayer, when we become a son of God, when heaven is our home, when the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of us and ministers to us more and more from the Word of God, all that we have in Jesus. So Jesus says, "Whom do you say I am?" In that instance, Peter was the one he was asking, and Peter said, "You are the Christ." That word Christ means Messiah, and the Messiah was the Savior who'd been promised right way from way back. And they'd been waiting, and now He was here. And Jesus said to him, "You're blessed, Peter, because you are believing something that has been revealed to you in a supernatural way." And that's what God wants to do for every one of us. He wants to minister to us in a supernatural way who He is and all that we can have in Him. Part of our role as Christians is to try and express that to anyone who will listen and try and be the person to introduce the light into people's lives. All of us have had that. Every one of us was born a sinner. Every one of us has been in darkness and has had the light revealed to them. For some people, it was because they were born into a Christian family and raised that way. How many people in here had that experience? Not many. Two. Most of us didn't have a Christian upbringing. I didn't. I didn't have a Christian upbringing. So at some point in my life, Jesus had to reveal that light to me. He's revealed it to you. And however that was for each of us, we can be that person for somebody else. God has been speaking to me my whole life. I can remember as a child with no understanding of who God is. But I went to Brownies. And so at Brownies, when you're enrolled in the Brownies, I think you do this. You put up your three fingers like this and you say, "I promise that I will do my best to do my duty to God, to serve the Queen and help other people and keep the Brownie Guide law." So as a child, from my heart, as much as I was able, I promised to do my duty to God. Now, I had not one iota of a clue what that meant, but I believe God saw that. And saw my heart. I meant it. I did. Now, I don't know if it was from Brownies, but I remember having a little book of prayers. I don't know where I got that from. It might have been Brownies. Do you remember that from Brownies? Yes. You do. I remember as a child sitting on my bed reading the prayers. I couldn't tell you what it was, But I remember sitting on my bed, and line by line, I closed my eyes and I said that line. How cute is that? That is absolutely adorable. And I believe that God was looking at that when I was a little girl on my bed doing that. I think he was pleased with that. In my childish way, trying to respond to him. And I know that as my life has gone on, he has revealed himself to me. And I'm sure all of you could look back in life and think of a time when your heart was thinking about God. Is there a God? What's this about? Maybe not in those explicit terms, but we come into this world knowing there's a God. Anybody who says they don't believe in God has come to that place through experience, because we are born with that understanding, that knowledge that there's more to this life. Andrew Womack talks about when he was a boy, and he used to get up in the middle of the night and go out into the garden, or the backyard as they called it, and he'd lie down and look at the stars, and he'd look at them and he'd say, God, why am I here? What's this all for? And he was just a little boy. His parents were worried about him. They thought he was weird, which he kind of is. And they'd rebuke him, you know, don't go out in the garden in the middle of the night and lie in the grass. Every one of us has had that light revealed to us in one way or another. And we can be the method of revealing light to other people. Other people are experiencing things, they're hearing things, seeing things about the Lord. And they'll be either accepting or rejecting. But you'll be another seed planted in that person's life if you can share with them about Jesus. So I hope that you've enjoyed, for most of you, you know, it's revision, looking at the scriptures about why Jesus came, and that you were in darkness and now you're in light, and that we can look at the word and see all that we have in Jesus. So thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the blessing it is to us. And we thank you, Lord, that when you ask us, whom do you say I am? I can say to you that you are my Lord, my Savior, a wonderful friend. I thank you so much, Jesus, that you came. We're so grateful to you, Lord. And we thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to fulfill all that was spoken and to be that wonderful presence in our lives. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.